Welcome back to the show. I'm visiting with the members of Tin Lounge, local rock band here in Indianapolis, art students at Heron School of Art. We just got through hearing that tune that you recorded this past summer called Last Week Excuses. Mm-hmm. Really catchy little tune. Do you have... Maybe you don't like that catchy little...
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
Catchy's a good word.
Well... It's not that we don't think it is. I mean, we know it is. It's just...
You've heard it a lot.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I had a demo tape. I was listening to that demo tape in my car for a week or two before we were here doing the interview. And listening to the songs, they sound so good that a lot of times I thought, this must be somebody else's song. This must be some... band who has some big recording contract song, and they've picked it up off the album, but they aren't. They're your songs. You've written them. You performed them. You taped them yourself.
Right. There's no outside party at all. What? At this point.
How do people react? Do you get that reaction from people?
Oh yeah, I think we do a lot.
We get it, you know, quite a bit.
Well, a lot of times we'll bring a song, you know, to a friend or something after it's been newly recorded, and we'll say, you know, give a listen to this. And if they're, you know, it's a lot of times I won't tell them who it is. I just say, what do you think of this song? Just to get an honest outsider's opinion.
Non-objective, you know.
And after they finally listen to it and they give me their opinion, then I tell them it's us. And, you know, sometimes they don't believe it. It could be anybody. And they say, well, it sounds like this, it sounds like this. But then they say, well, you know, is this a new song by them? And I say, no, it's us. And a lot of times it's hard to convince people that it really is.
Yeah, one day we were just having a practice, a real loose practice, and one of our friends, you know, they said they really liked this certain song. Too bad it's not yours, you know, and they thought it was a cover. So, it's flattering, you know.
Yeah, it is flattering. It's weird, too, because, you know, we're still at the point where there's a definite generation gap, you know. I mean, we have... evolved culturally far enough to where there's no generation gap left anymore, but it's weird that I can take some stuff home that I do, and my mom really appreciates what we're doing. I mean, it's weird. It even appeals to older people, which is kind of surprising. You know, because a lot of music today, you know, you'll take it home and parents will just literally rip their hair out when you play it.
We don't use a lot of aggression or noise elements, really. It's mostly melodic.
Yeah.
That's
melodically
partly why it's
based,
catchy.
Rhythm-based, and...
We try and keep it as
clean
as we can.
Yeah.
Really clean.
Why do you do that? Why is it important to you to keep it clean?
A lot of it, I think, reflects maybe the kind of art we do, too, because, in my own... I try to parallel this stuff with my painting sometimes, and... That's the kind of approach I like to use in my painting, where it's clean, it's
do you mean
really
clean,
to the point.
Clean just in terms of subject matter, in terms of
subject matter all the way to production, and everything in between.
Subject matter and sound, combination of both. I mean, just it's, the whole package, just really.
It's just a lot more forceful that way. There's nothing to block, you know, your viewpoint. You can get an impression of it right off. And you don't have to muddle through it.
Yeah, you're talking about communication then.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, on that note, at the break we were talking about shopping malls and appliances.
There we go.
And these things we associate with the middle class.
Right.
Can you address that in terms of your music?
Well, and there again, you know, you've got the use of simplicity. Okay, those people they basically lead these really simple lives and they do simple things. You know?
Very routine oriented. A lot of stuff's very routine oriented.
Right.
You know, they'll, you know, they have their stove to cook the dinner, you know, just like everybody, or they have, you know, appliances are a good icon, I guess.
Well, we were talking about last night when we went into one of those appliance stores and we saw the row of televisions, the row of washer and dryers, the row of microwave ovens.
These are the ingredients for life. These are what you need.
These are
going to
belong to people someday, and they each one just kind of represents somebody's life. And that's the whole basis.
This is Fred's washing machine.
Right.
Exactly.
Right, but right now it's not Fred's, it's Fredder's, you know, and it's right there with a price tag on it, you know. which someday for
you know, and we're not doing this looking at it as like we're an outside party. We're about as middle class as you
right.
can get.
It's just an observation and an internal
right,
observation.
They're not judgments, yeah. They're documentations. That's I want to make that clear too. I'm not saying that lower middle class or middle class people are simple or boring. They're not. It's like trying to take the uncool and making it cool, because that's not cool to be middle class. You know what I'm saying?
When it really is.
Right, really, when it really is.
You know, everybody just don't know everybody it. Has to have a place.
We all wear really bad shirts. We buy our we buy everything at AmVets, and we like paying 90 cents for a shirt and because they're cool.
So is that a reaction against that middle
That's
class
a reaction
mentality?
Against the 80s me generation, that everything has got to be, you know, really perfect. And
everything has to be glittered up. Everything has to be, you know, creamed over.
Trendy
whatever
is
you
not
want
cool.
Say. You know, it's a lot of the points in our music are things that are, you know, with the music itself and with the lyrics, it's lasting things. Relationships, you know, honest relationships, honest, you know, this is what happens. This person, you know, they'll have a car.
Nothing is sugar-coated at all.
Yeah,
it's just the way it is.
The facts.
And clarity. And
right.
Being
that,
direct.
Exactly.
There's no cosmetics involved.
Right.
What, just so we can have some point of reference, what... can you give us an example of music that you would term cosmetic?
Listen to about anything today.
Top 40.
A
lot of top 40 stuff that's really glittered up.
Overproduced.
Oh, terribly overproduced. And it's a real shame that a lot of stuff that's done today is like really heavily overdubbed, overmixed. It's not even, it's machine generated
music.
It wouldn't sound
the same live.
We're not saying that there's not a lack of creativity there. It's just that they don't use it.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
when they really could, when they're in a great position, too.
It's like going... If we were going to cut a video, we wouldn't go to a beauty shop and spend 8 hours, you know, trying to look good.
It'd be just exactly what we look like. It's,
right.
You know, just reality. You know,
just
right down to earth
reality. And that's where the simple clarity comes in within the music and the production and the whole bit.
Well, and a note I wanted to hit on back about, you know, the popular music these days... All the really interesting things that are done in music today is brought right up front. This is a neat thing. Listen to it, you know, right out front. And when, you know, the really neat thing about our music is subtlety. There's a lot of things, you know, subtle things there that are maybe a hook or maybe a catch, but it's not right up front. It's not like, this is neat, you know, listen to this, you know, forcing it down your throat. It's like, this is a nice little tune and you can listen to it maybe the 40th time you'll hear something different. You know, each time there's maybe something else in there that you like that you didn't, you know, that a lot of bands would have put made the loudest thing just for, you know, any kind of marketability.
And the way our stuff is arranged too is a real primary concern too. Like, it's not linear. Like, the bass lines will weave in between a certain melody line, between a guitar line and a rhythm pattern.
It has an African quality, sort of, the way things are layered.
Right.
Because nobody's playing the same rhythm.
Right.
There's not
exactly.
a lot of unison.
Nobody's playing the same thing.
But it all fits
thing.
Together.
The melody lines are not necessarily always the same either. I mean, like, they're based on the same notes within the melody, but it's like we come up with something different. Like, Jeff will sing a melody line, Matt will play different melody line on his bass of sorts.
Right.
And then
Jeff's guitar is totally different.
It all weaves in together.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good place then to play the second piece.
Right.
Which
this one definitely is more example, a better example of what the kind of sound that we're trying to go for right now.
It's really open. I mean, it's a lot more open. It's a lot less structured along the lines of like melody and all that stuff.
It's a lot more better opener.
Exactly.
This song also rises out of the laboratory setting.
Exactly.
Yes, this was
completely. In fact, this was this marks the first song that we wrote as a band,
where I
just had a few ideas for lyrics, and they just started whipping out some music. And this is what
we
got.
Put it all together.
The title of this is
Up for Sale.
This is Up for Sale by Tin Lounge.